please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing, the Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.
Oi, Billy! Oscar! Dave! Get up! Francine Marie Show's on!
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Jamaica Anderson is a PhD student in the Urban Education Program at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, with a research focus on African-American adolescents and critical digital media literacy. She is the one who created this platform of I Am Not the Media Incorporated, and she's going to explain it to us this morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Years ago, we interviewed about I Am Not the Media. How many years ago was that?
That was 4 years ago when we did our Teen Media Literacy Conference here in Charlotte. So it's been a while.
You literally go big. Have you always been that way all your life? You just grab and go big.
Well, I like to say sometimes it's just like the fearless carelessness sometimes. Like I take risks. And most of the time they end up working out amazing. And sometimes I'm like, ooh, maybe we should have did that. Maybe we can fix it next time. But luckily with a lot of the projects that I've done with I Am Not the Media that has been on a large scale, they have all been very successful. But I think it's that fearlessness to just go big is what makes a lot of people successful. You know, sometimes you just gotta just take that leap, you know? So,
you know, you're an example to us adults, but you are an incredible example to adolescents and teens.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. So we watch our fearless leaders, right? That's what we like to do. We like to mimic them. We like to know I can do that too. So I Am Not the Media. Tell us more.
I Am Not the Media is a nonprofit organization. I started literally when I was like 25, 26 years old when I started I Am Not the Media. So 9 years ago. So that kind of gives you my age. So I like to say I'm still young. But I started it because I had been working with teens for so long. And I myself had literally just entered my young adulthood, but I noticed how they were influenced by the media and how myself had been influenced by the media as well. And that was our connection. I connected with the youth through music, through movies, just through media. And so a lot of our conversations stemmed on topics dealing with media and actually questioning them to just challenge some of the content that they were engaging in. Have you ever thought of this? And have you ever paid attention to this song and this lyric? And eventually I started developing this passion for critiquing and really becoming an active consumer of the content that we were engaging with, and just also just reflecting on how it was impacting us as individuals in our world and our society. And those conversations began to flourish with teens, and they became really intrigued. And so I did a lot of that type of programming in the library because I worked at the library for so long, but I saw this platform that I could really branch out and just kind of take what I was doing out into the community because I didn't know anyone else that was the type of programming they specifically were focusing on. At that time, I didn't know I was doing media literacy. And so as I just began to continue to follow my passion, I was just intrigued by how I was empowering teens to become critical thinkers. So when they would come to me and say, Miss Jamaica, did you listen to this song? Well, I was thinking about X, Y, and Z. And then I'm like, oh, this light bulb is going on in their head that's making them really question some of the content they were consuming. So I saw that as an empowerment tool within itself that more students and more youth needed to be able to have access to. So I'm Not the Media began to form. I started with doing programs. I offered a lot of free programs in Charlotte, but eventually that wasn't sustainable. And so I started doing a lot of feel free, you know, because I want anyone to have access, but a lot of paid workshops, and created the structure for the organization where I was able to go around the city doing events and workshops. And then also I've been booked outside of North Carolina and Charlotte and other states and other cities to do initiatives as well. But that's how I'm Not the Media was started.
You know, we're not taught as kids to question the media. We are just not. So thank you for doing that. Because well, you think about media, radio, right? That comes to mind first for me. TV and then magazines. So no matter who you are you seeing yourself in a positive light on all of these platforms? Is that kind of the goal that you want them to, like, I demand to see a positive image?
That definitely is the goal, ideally, because what happens is with media literacy. So let me break it down what media literacy is. It's the ability to understand how to access, analyze, evaluate, and create media. So that's what media literacy is as a whole. And so when you equip youth or teens or even adults with media literacy, they become these critical consumers of the media. And so they see the need, they see the challenges with some of the content that they are presented with. And then it empowers them to contribute and to become creators. And so although I might not see my narrative being told, when I critique the narrative that you have presented to me in the media of who I am and who I should aspire to be, I see that there's now a need for me to create a new narrative that's more realistic and accurate and contribute in the space. So that's what media literacy does, specifically critical media literacy, because critical media literacy focuses on empowering historically marginalized populations. So those populations that are consistently marginalized in the media, and empowering them to want to contribute to the media platform and develop those new narratives and destroy the single narrative and the stereotypes that are replicated and reproduced consistently in the media of certain groups. So that's one of the benefits to new media. So I also teach courses at the Carolina School of Broadcasting, and one of the courses I do teach is new media and helping future broadcasters understand this new era of new media and what makes it so different from traditional media. So I myself am a millennial, so I've had the opportunity to kind of become this digital immigrant, so to speak, where I was brought up in traditional media era, but kind of mid high school and going into college, that's when new media really became very popular and flourished. And so what really separates the new media era from the traditional media era is this concept of community and this relationship between the audience and the entertainer that's now very much mixed. Like the audience can be the entertainer and the entertainer can now be the audience. So whereas before, if you were the audience, you only received the content. You couldn't comment on it. You couldn't critique it. You couldn't have a case to say this needs to be changed. And so the new media era has created that opportunity to give power to the audience and to the consumer in ways, in unfathomable ways that was never, ever thought of before. Like you said, when my parents or grandparents were growing up with media. And so social media now allows young teens to become journalists, you know, without not even in the classroom. Like, you just are now automatically a journalist. And there are some benefits to it, but then there are some cons to it as well. You know, the benefits would be a lot of the issues that we have experienced of today. A lot of those things have been recorded and captured by our young people, and them having access to devices and able to capture the moment, such as George Floyd. Look what just happened with George Floyd, a 17-year-old journalist, basically, that captured that story. And so it creates this opportunity to give power to those that have always been marginalized in the past through media. But then at the same time, it saturates that social media environment where it's hard to decipher with content what content is accurate sometimes, because that same power that empowers social change can also influence our paradigm on what's factual and what's inaccurate through just blog posting or comments and just making your own headline, you know,
right,
and creating clickbait. And so that can be also detrimental in the social media platform. As we all engage and consume, it becomes a bit of a challenge to understand what's accurate and what's inaccurate. So there's right. pros and cons to it at the same time.
Social media is just an emotional place. Yeah, I know you figure that out. It's just an emotional roller coaster. And if you are the 17-year-old journalist who is recording deaths, I mean, that's like Vietnam all over again. Where's your trauma therapy?
Yes, So one of the workshops that we offer in Charlotte, and we have had this series offered in different high schools, four high schools in Charlotte. We've done this series that focuses on social media and mental health. We've done it at Philip O'Berry for over 4 years in a partnership with the Crown Jewels chapter of the Lynx, where we discuss the impact of social media on the mental health, and they contribute to the conversation and really help them navigate through all of this and really assess it and how it's impacted their lives, their emotions, their thoughts. And so we've done it with Philip O'Berry. We've done it with West Charlotte High School, Vance, and West Meck. Those are the other three schools. Program is focused on helping them really understand what internet addiction is, but also social media anxiety and depression, and how all of that is stemmed from the consumption of messaging that is presented to us, where we don't even realize how social media is making us feel depressed or exhausted mentally or drained or anxious and paranoid. And we have those conversations with teens, and a lot of the teens admit having those type of feelings with social media after they shut it down, or just feeling the need to have to really plug back in and see what's happening, and that anxiousness that they're getting, especially with a lot of the challenges and movements that happened. I remember after the Keith Lamont Scott situation had happened in 2016, a lot of the stories of teens really capturing their emotions and the visual imagery that they were watching. That was very content that would not normally be considered mature on television and censored. They're exposed to in the social media platforms, and it really does impact their lives, it impacts their mental health. And there's a need for conversation that's really not happening with even parents sometimes, with how that's impacting them. Seeing that imagery and in school. So I feel honored to be able to create that space for them to talk about it and really deconstruct it and understand how it's impacting their lives.
You have found your calling.
Hilarious.
You can still see this on an international platform, right? Because internet is everywhere. If you're just not tuning in, we have a new best friend. It's Jamika Anderson. She is a PhD student in the urban education program at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, with a research focus on African-American adolescents and critical digital media literacy. It's a mouthful. But you've got events coming up, so we can figure out how we can get a hold of you in person and online.
Definitely. So, of course, online, www.iamnotthemedia.org. And just our handle is at @IamNotTheMedia on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook. But events that we have coming up, so we have a traveling photo exhibit that will launch July 20th. In Charlotte, and it will travel to 4 different library locations and 2 park and rec sites, and it will extend all the way until December of 2020. So the exhibit was initially supposed to launch in April, but then we had COVID-19, so we've had to push it back. And so it will launch July the 20th as of right now, unless anything happens in the world. It will be at Sugar Creek Library, Imagineon, the University City Regional Library, and Beatty's Fort Road Library. And then the Park and Rec site that it will actually go to will be the Park and Rec site on Clanton Road, Arbor Glen. And then also the other site is Tuckasegee. To travel to all of those locations over the span of about 5 months. It will be at each site for 3 weeks, launching July the 20th. The work that is in the exhibit is over 50 posters that have been created by high school students at the 4 high schools that I mentioned earlier, Philip O'Berry, West Charlotte High School, Vance, and West Meck. And the work that they created from being in our workshops is focused on social media advocacy. So to empower the community and their peers to understand how social media is impacting their mental health, how it impacts their identity, and also how it impacts us on a democratic level, like posting in politics and fake news and misinformation. And so it's a very informative and engaging exhibit. And so I think everyone should go out and experience it and see the work of the teens and the youth and their voices. But we also have a lot of great other things that's coming up in 2021. We'll be doing a Black Girls Film Camp with Miss Kima Mingo, who is a director and producer here in Charlotte. And so we have that coming up. And we have just so many great things, and we're looking forward to planning another community literacy conference in 2021 too, and that just started as well. So yes, we hope that everything still goes well in the world, and everything that we have on the horizon that's open to the public, these big events that we have started working on, it will still be there. So yeah, that's what we got going on.
Wow, you need to clone yourself, please. We need more of you all the time, everywhere. Parents, you know, they want to teach their kids media literacy at home.
As far as engaging your youth, I think that there's different things that we can do at different levels. So for parents that have preschoolers or young children, you can start equipping your child to become media literate, even with them when you're engaging in your story time, when you're reading with your children, asking those questions. Don't just read the book. Ask questions where they're thinking about some of the things that they're seeing with the pictures in the book, because it's already teaching them at an early age to start critiquing imagery. And so that's one of the skill sets that you want to go ahead and put in place with your child, even at an early age, as early as preschool. Once you start getting into school age, usually parents start veering off like that school age tween years with a lot of the media, but stick with them. If you have a child that's a tween, that 10 to 11 or 12, and they're interested in social media, go ahead and share a social media page with them so you can start teaching them how to engage in social media in a healthy and very conscious and critical way. So equip them by, one, sharing that page and modeling with them with social media. And then as your child goes into their teen years, don't let them go. I know you might not want to listen to Megan Thee Stallion, but you still need to be engaged in some of the music that they're listening to. You might even find a song you like, but you still want to be engaged in some of the content and the media that they're consuming, so that you can equip your child to become a critical thinker well beyond when they really leave out the house, where they know to really question. So start asking them questions like, who's the target audience of this ad or this song? Who are they targeting? Whose voice is here? Whose voice is missing? How does this content connect to you? How do you see yourself in this content? Do you think the messaging is geared towards you? And if not, who is it geared towards? How does that impact them? So really just start probing questions that just allows your child to just become a critical thinker. And if you do that, you're teaching them media literacy, because as soon as they see something wrong, they're going to be empowered to want to say something, do something, and change and make change in media or the world. So I think that those are the key components, simple things that you can do as a parent to really engage them. As far as art, I guess I would definitely say I love graphics. I love to do digital media design. And so I think that just encouraging them to find their artistic talent. That may be songwriting. If you really like that song, let me see if you can flip that song. What do you see wrong with that song? How could you flip that song? Use the same instrumental and write me a new song and play it for me. You know what I mean? So figuring out the different ways. Poetry. Who is the target audience here? How is this influencing their lives? Let's write about it. Let's write a poem about it. Figuring out the artistic geniusness that's in your child and letting that flourish and how they create and contribute. And so I think that is another way parents can really support their children.
We can go online right now, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's at I Am Not The Media. I Am Not The Media. Yep, our new best friend is joining us this morning. It is Jamika Anderson, is the founder and executive director of I Am Not The Media Incorporated, a PhD student at the Urban Education Program at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. I'm going to already call you Doctor of African American, I'll just say studies and digital media literacy. Now, I found a new word today. You know what that word is, Jamika? It's digital immigrant. I'm a digital immigrant.
Yes. And so the kids today are digital natives because they're born in the digital era. Yeah.
I Am Not The Media. Okay, and we got to go to libraries. They're all over. If you go to the social media, I Am Not The Media, you can find out where they are. There are 50 posters. Social media advocacy is what it's all about. It starts July the 20th. It ends December 2020. Come on, you got to support. Thank you so much, Jamika.
Thank you.
You know, that 1 hour public talk radio flies by. I am your hostess of the mostest, Francine Marie. Until we meet, and one day we will, I want you to have a good week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us for the Francine Marie Show, where we address issues concerning you and your family.
That's all for now.
See you next week.
Please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing. The Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.